We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Amen. In true SEC fashion, let's say hi to three people and just say, I'm glad you're here with us this morning. Tell them, I'm so happy that you're here this morning. Tell them, I was praying for you to come here this morning. Thank you, man. Amen. It is an honor and a privilege to be standing in front of you once again, sharing the word of God with you all. And I just want to thank the eldership of the church for entrusting me with the pulpit for this Sunday to be able to preach the word and to deliver the word as the Lord has given it to me. And also to thank my family. Zoe is always supporting with noise, you know. So I don't know where she is at the moment, but I'm guessing she's supporting somewhere with some noise. And for everyone who is a newcomer, I just want to echo Justin's words that, you know, we are a Bible-believing church, we are a family, and we are glad that you are here today, if it's your first time, if it's your first few times. And we hope that you really make this place a home for you to grow with us, even as we mission with God, with what he has for us to do in this season. Amen. Amen. So I will be continuing preaching on the theme of advancing the kingdom of God. When Justin was sharing last week, he actually used a passage which I am going to use, and I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, are you going to take my whole word today, and I'm going to come here empty and go, guys, just listen to what Justin said. That's what I was going to say. But I was glad that actually what he shared set me up very well for what I'm going to share with you all today. So I'm glad with how well the Holy Spirit works through us that, you know, he's able to use different ones to be able to share his message congruently so that then we all echo the same message of God as he has for us. Amen. So to summarize really quickly, Justin's message last week was really about us having the kingdom of God advance within us on a personal level. It's a big theme. And I love this theme, but then I think at times we take it very far before we even take a chance to look at ourselves individually and say, God, where am I when it comes to advancing your kingdom within ourselves personally? And to see the macro increase of the kingdom of God, it happens first of all at a very micro level, which is our own personal devotion to God and our own personal revelation of what God says, what the kingdom of God is and what he has for us to do within it. But then with that being said, the reason why I'm saying that it's a perfect backdrop to the message I'm sharing with you today is because I want to look at that macro view to see, you know, what does it look like when the kingdom of God advances? What does it look like? What transformation comes when the kingdom of God has advanced within our nations and within our households and with everything that we have? So the parable that I'll be reading from is from the parable of the leaven, or the parable of yeast. So from here on forward, I'll be calling it the parable of yeast, simply because I think that's what we are more used to hearing. And the title of my message is Kingdom Change Agent, for those of you who right know. So Kingdom Change Agent. I'm going to read Matthew 13 and verse 33, where we get the parable from, and also its parallel in Luke 13. So in Matthew 13, 33, I'm reading from the NIV, it says, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. I'm now going to read from Luke 13, 20 to 21. Luke 13, 20 to 21. And it says, and I like how Jesus puts it in here. It says, again, he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that the woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. In Luke 13, it says, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Mr. Perry took some time last week really to explain to us how God uses parables. Yeast, as we all know, sometimes is used as a very negative connotation. But then This in Luke, he really says, you know, what shall I compare it to? It's when we use parables, it's a likeness to something, but it's not exactly as it is. So what I'll be extracting from today is really about what elements of yeast that God wants to show to us when it comes to expanding the kingdom of God or extending the kingdom of God. So yes, there are negative connotations, but there is an absolute brilliance when we look at yeast as to what it means for us when it comes to this theme. Now, I think I find myself saying this every single year, but for me, this theme is so, so significant, right? It's probably my favorite theme that we've come across because it talks about the kingdom. When we look at Jesus' ministry, his message, really and truly, when you actually look at it, it was all he ever used to preach about, what he used to talk about, was about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which is just a parallel. It's about the kingdom. So really, when we start to align ourselves with this message, we're aligning ourselves with the very thing that Christ himself would share. So it's a great honor even for myself to be able to preach the same word that Jesus would have also preached to us if you were here with us physically today. So look, I'm just going to look at this. So if we go to Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus going through temptation, after him getting baptized, the very first proclamation that he made, akin to what John the Baptist would say, so in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." The very first thing after Jesus started his ministry, what he was calling out was to say that the kingdom of God has come near. Now, I think with our English understanding, sometimes when we look at the word near, it sounds as though it's kind of close but still far off. But the real correct translation is to say that the kingdom of God is here now, that it is at hand, it is with us as we speak. So Jesus was coming straight away to proclaim to you, saying, look, there is a kingdom which has now come, which he is now establishing here on the earth. Now, believe me, this in and of itself is a very dangerous message. It's a dangerous message because for those who understand kingdoms, especially for the guys in this day and age, they would have understood that if you are bringing another kingdom must be displaced. It means that there is something else which is going to get taken over, because whenever a kingdom comes, if we look at all the various different empires and kingdoms that there were before, be the Romans, be the Greeks, you know, the British Empire, whatever it was, every time when these kingdoms come, it meant that someone else had to move out the way because this kingdom had come. And Jesus came, and the first thing that he said was that the kingdom is here. Right. So who would have been endangered by this message? Who would have been who would have caught offense at this message? And there's a few different parties which I was kind of working through and thinking through to think who can be offended about this. The first people are the teachers of the religious law. The teachers of the religious law, as far as they were concerned, they were ushering in the kingdom of God. They were sharing about the kingdom of God. So now if this young man at just 30 years old comes along and says, the kingdom is now here, they'll be saying, so what was here all along? What have we been preaching all along if now all of a sudden the kingdom of God is here? On top of that, at the time it was the Romans that were ruling. The Romans in and of themselves, if they were to hear a message that there is someone else who is calling themselves a king and wants to come and conquer, that means, hang on a minute, there is a challenge to our dominion. There's a challenge to our reign. On top of that, then there's also the rulers of the unseen realm. Jesus' declaration to say that the kingdom of God has come meant that even in the unseen realm, there were those spirits and entities who should have known that Christ is now coming to rule over where they had taken precedent. But let's talk more about the kingdom. Let's take a chance to understand what we mean by kingdom. Gentlemen, if you can help me with the next slide, I'll just walk through these. When we talk about a kingdom, there are various different properties that a kingdom comes with. And these are just some that I just extracted. It probably isn't a complete list, but it's a view to see what a kingdom consists of. First of all, within a kingdom, there is always a ruler. There is a head to the kingdom. There is the king. As Jesus comes in, he says, the kingdom of God has now come. He is placing himself in a place of authority and saying, hey, I have now come and I've making myself king. And he's introducing God as the one who reigns and saying that God reigns, that he is the king of glory, that he is the one who is the ruler of all. So anybody beforehand who thought that they had a place where they could rule, God is making a point to say he is the one who is the ruler, not anyone else who has made a claim. And whenever there is a king, there is also governance. Governance speaks of a government or a governing body. Again, when we think about the Romans, although there would have been the emperors and the likes, there would have been those who were also underneath them. When a new kingdom comes along, all of that is taken aside and a new governing body will be put in place to reign and to rule over that province that is taken over. If we think, I know Christmas is coming soon, We often reference Isaiah 9 in chapter 6 when we say, behold, a child is born, a king is come, and that the government shall be upon his shoulders. That government is that Christ himself is bringing his government to be able to rule and to reign. There's always a domain. A domain simply meaning that there is an area. There is an area in which a king rules. And that area means that wherever, if we say that there is the UK, we understand that whenever we have the borders around the UK in that area, that is the domain of the UK. And when God comes and Christ comes and says, I am proclaiming that there is a kingdom that has come, he's saying that there is some domain, there is some areas geographically and spiritually that he is coming to take over and to take rule of. And then within a domain, there is subjects. Subjects are simply those who are within the kingdom. Again, if I am a Roman emperor and somebody comes and says, the kingdom has come, it means that these people who I've fought so hard to take control of, somebody's trying to make a claim that I'm going to take these people away from me. And now all of a sudden their headship would move from the Roman emperor to Christ the king. Whenever a kingdom comes as well, there's always an operating system. An operating system says, how does a kingdom operate? How does it move? How does it do things? This is when we're referring to an operating system. When we say that the kingdom of God has come, what Christ was ushering in is to say that the way that things operate, the way that we have known to be a norm, is also going to come to a point of change. And on top of that, there's also a mission and a mandate. A king has a desire. A king has a way in which he wants us to go and a way in which he implores his people to go. That is all coming with that one single message. The kingdom of God has come near. A dangerous message. And so Christ in Matthew 4:17 says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. When we are saying to repent, what he's simply saying is, turn away from that kingdom which you were once drawn into, to be able to enter into this kingdom, which he is now revealing to us, saying that this is the kingdom from now on that you will now actually follow within. And this is what I find interesting. When Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't it interesting that the first agenda, the first requesting item that he put on there was to say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, this kingdom of God, which already exists in heaven, already operates, and he's saying that, disciples, when you pray, the first agenda item that you have before you ask for forgiveness of sin, before you ask for your daily provision, is to say, let your kingdom come and let your reign on the earth meet the same agenda as it is operating in the heavenly places. And this is exactly what I feel that God has for us when he has this theme over us. To say, he's asking us that will his will come into the earth and reign over the earth as he is ruling in heaven. And his request for you and I today is to say, would it be so that he would use us individually to see the extension, the expansion of the kingdom of God, where it's been displaced here on the earth? So the kingdom of God is a good thing, isn't it? Is it a good thing? I can show you. Maybe let me show you a little bit why the kingdom of God is such a good thing. Whenever you have a kingdom, the king has got responsibility for those that are in his kingdom. The Romans were very, very happy being Roman because they knew that everywhere that they were conquering was now just becoming beneficial to those that were Romans. Likewise, when we are under the king, when we are under King Jesus, our inheritance and our wealth is not from the kingdoms that we live in physically here. It is from heaven. That means that everything that we see, that we read of the benefits of being in heaven, or the benefits that come of a heavenly-like place, are also our heavenly inheritance, also in this season and in the season to come in the end of the age. When I think of today, and thank you, Mr. Perry, for leading us through. That time of remembering Armistice Day and Remembrance Day and all the people that have fallen in various different wars. The reason why we have all these wars and all these things is because we are not seeing the kingdom of God here on the earth. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all the conflict. The conflict that we see, the wars that we see, the terrorism, the corruption that we see, it's all disparate from the kingdom of God. The inequality that we see in between the rich and the poor, it's all because the kingdom of God is not established. The abuse of privilege and the lack and the illness, all these things are not part of the kingdom of God. That's what happens when we have the kingdom of man. When we ask for the kingdom of God to meet the earth, what we're asking is that, God, would you give us the wealth that there is in heaven to meet us here on the earth? Where there was lack, there is no lack in heaven. There is no illness in heaven. In heaven, there is no conflict. There is peace amongst man. All these things that we speak of all come to pass when the kingdom of God meets the earth. And this is why I think it's such a beautiful thing when we see the kingdom of God advance here on the earth. We will see peace. We will see health. We will see wealth. The morality that continues to break down, we will see reestablished on the earth when his kingdom advances. And you know, the thing that amazed me is that, you know, we often talk about salvation. Salvation is such a beautiful thing. But we must also understand that salvation is a means to an end. It's not the end. When we say, are you saved? In other words, what we're actually saying is, are you part and parcel of the kingdom of God? Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? So when we're calling someone to say, receive the Lord Jesus, in other words, in parallel, what we are saying is that receive his kingdom, receive his kingship, receive his inheritance, be part and parcel of his subjects, and also let his rule over us. All of that in just one short thing of saying, receive Christ, receive his kingdom. And he's calling us into that. And the truth of the matter is that it's not always been the case that we have been separated from the kingdom of God. I'm going to take us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. The Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 are often called the perfect chapters in the Bible because it was before sin came. So I love those two passages because there's just so much to see about what God intended for us before, obviously, sin entered into the world and we were separated from God. So I'm reading from Genesis 1 and verse 27, again from the NIV. And it says this, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now hear this. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Hear that. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea. In other words, Adam and Eve were part of God's government. They were asked, they were given the authority by God to rule and govern the area in which God had given them. He had given them that area to say, in this place, you will have authority. The authority that is Christ, the authority that is God's, he then passed on to Adam and Eve and say, have authority, rule over it. And in the same place, when God restores us into his kingdom, what he's calling us into is in a place of authority whereby he allows us to govern exactly where he has actually called us to govern into. In chapter 3, by the time Adam sins, yes, he lost the garden, he lost access to God, but then one of the other things that he lost was the authority that he had on the earth. Let me reveal it to you some more. In Genesis chapter 2, I find this incredible. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19 and on to 20, he says, now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. But look at this. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. That level of authority that God gave to Adam was one to say, listen, what you call something to be, it then now becomes. We don't see anything like that. Post Genesis 2, we don't see that level of authority exercised on the earth again, whereby it's just automatic for him to just go, oh yeah, whatever you name it, it then becomes. And Satan, he coerced Adam and Eve to say you'll be like God, when really and truly they were already part of God's government. They were already governing with the authority that God had given them. And the restoration that we get through salvation is to come back into the kingdom of God and to operate in the place of authority that God is calling us into. Amen. Anyway, we're talking about yeast, isn't it? Matthew 13. Excuse me. So, coming back to Matthew 13 and verse 33. The first point I want to pull out about yeast is that yeast always serves its purpose. Yeast always serves its purpose. Now, I'm not a baker myself, so I had to research yeast to understand how yeast works. And what I found out was that yeast is actually it's a living organism. So yeast is actually alive. But what happens with yeast is it doesn't come into operation up until certain conditions are met. And then now all of a sudden it operates into that whole expanding force that we see it to be when it enters dough. So in other words, when Christ is likening the kingdom of God is to be like yeast, what he is saying is that when the kingdom of God is placed into different environments where the conditions are right, all of a sudden we see the expansion that comes. So in other words, the way yeast works, so I understand, is that you add some water, you add some sugar, and you put in the dough, and once you meld it all in, all of a sudden it starts to operate within the dough. It starts to move things along the way. Now, for us to understand if we are like yeast, if the kingdom of God is like us and we are like yeast, the first thing that we must understand is that we need to understand what the kingdom agenda is. For us to operate correctly, we must understand, God, what is it that you are calling me yeast about? What is it that I have to do that makes us like yeast? And I came across this term. It's a law term. Now listen to this Latin. It says, ignorantia juris non excusat. Isn't that fancy? Simply put, it says that ignorance of the law excuses not. Or the other Latin one was ignorantia legis neminem excusat, which means ignorance of the law excuses no one. What I'm basically saying is, because if you are yeast and you don't realize that you're yeast and what you're supposed to do, ignorance of that, it does not excuse you from doing what you ought to be doing. God has put an expectation on us that what he has given us to do in terms of expanding his kingdom is a mandate upon our lives, and we must act in what we ought to do. Where do we find that? Well, we find it in our word of God. I thank God for the revealed word that he has in our scriptures, because we come to understand what he has for us to do in this time. Reading from Romans chapter 2 and verse 12 through to 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 12 into 16. I think this is NLT. It says, when the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even if they had God, even if they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know this law when they instinctively obey it. Even without having heard it, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them what they are doing is right. And this message I proclaim, the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Amen. In other words, God has an expectation that if we do not know the law of God, if we do not know what it is that we ought to do, that we are to search for it, because ignorance of it is not an excuse of it. The law of God is written in our heart, but also we thank God for His revealed word, because we can learn and understand, God, in Your kingdom, what is Your governance? In Your kingdom, what is Your system? In Your kingdom, what is Your law? What is the way you seek for us to operate? All written in His word. And we get to translate that so that we can operate in correct operation, just like yeast. Yeast always does what yeast does. Yeast always does what yeast does. So the amazing thing is that the kingdom of God came in the person of Christ 2,000 years ago. But then today, when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God, it happens through His disciples, you and I. We are His disciples today. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, it says this: as you proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received and freely you give. This is the message that God gave to the disciples to preach. Isn't it incredible that the message He gave was to say, spread about the kingdom of heaven? Every time we translate it to say, oh, let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about the peace of God. Let's talk about the love of God. Let's talk about the promises of God. But really, the message that He gave the disciples to share is to say that the kingdom of God has come. And that is the message that should be on our lips. The thing that people need to know is that this King who has a kingdom is the message that we should propagate. As a ministry, we are very much based in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, where we are being asked to go into all the world and make disciples. But the message that we reach those disciples with should be one of saying that the kingdom of God has come. That's the correct perspective. That's the correct perspective. Moving on swiftly. So my second point is that yeast is unapologetic about transforming dough. Or yeast unapologetically transforms dough. The other thing I found out about yeast is that every time when yeast goes into dough, there's never a conflict between the dough and the yeast. The yeast goes for the dough every single time, right? And this is the thing. It's not a case of the yeast. The yeast always transforms the dough, but the dough never transforms the yeast. Every single time. And this is what the Lord is calling us to do today, to say, even as you go into all the world, even as you go into all those areas where the kingdom is not established, it is not us who will be transformed, but it is that very area that God will then transform through us. So to show you what this looks like in practice, I went on holiday to Greece with some friends and my wife not long ago. And I don't know if it's just me, but every single time I go on holiday, the first thing that happens when I come back from holiday is I want to go back on holiday, because it's like, you know, it's just never enough. It doesn't seem like the time is ever enough. So straight away, I got online. I'm like, you know what? I need to find out, where can I go to next? Because, you know, this it was, you know, as soon as you come back to the UK, you're like, the weather just hits you and you're like, hey, this is just not the same, right? So anyways, I was searching around to see, where can I go, you know? And, you know, I thank God for Ryanair, because they've allowed me to travel the world at a budget, you know. But because it's a budget airline, What happens is you have to look at how far is the distance, because it's not the most comfortable thing to be able to go for a long distance. So I was looking around, looking at different popular destinations. I've been to Spain a few times, and I know that Spain roughly takes you about 2 hours to get there, right? And then I came across Lanzarote. I always hear about Lanzarote, right? And I'm looking, okay, let me see how much flights are to Lanzarote. And it says 4 hours. And I was like, that can't be right. Because it says Lanzarote, Spain. Okay? And Spain is 2 hours away. And I'm not sitting on the plane for 4 hours. Right there, okay? So anyway, so I had to Google it to find out what is going on. Why is it 4 hours to go to Lanzarote but 2 hours to go to Spain? Right? Anyways, because when I looked at Lanzarote, Lanzarote looks exactly like Spain. The buildings are like Spain. They speak Spanish. Everything about it is Spain. Gentlemen, can you show me the next slide, if you can? Now, there's UK, there's Spain, there is Lanzarote. Now, why do I mention this? Why do I mention this? If you can actually see, Morocco is only about 100 kilometers away from Lanzarote. Spain is 1,000 kilometers away from Lanzarote. But when you look at Lanzarote, it is Spain. It's not any different. When you look at it, when you look at the people, you look at the currency that they use the euro, everything about it is Spain. And this is exactly what yeast is like when it comes into an area, into a province, and exactly what God has us to do. Even though technically Lanzarote should have been like Morocco because it's closest to it, but because the influence that came, those change agents that came into Lanzarote and took claim of that land, said this is how it's going to operate. And this is exactly the same way for us today. Where we are in different regions, we're in different workplaces, we are in our schools, and like so on and so forth. Nonetheless, God in the most nicest way possible is asking us to colonize the earth for the purposes of the kingdom. It is to show us, look, we are going to see the earth transformed to meet the standard of heaven. That the ones who they will call God is Jehovah. The one which the system that they will follow is one that we find from the Bible. That everything about it will be set as the rule and the reign that you would have as you would have within the kingdom of God. And I think the question that we have to ask ourselves really deeply when it comes to this is, do we see ourselves as just that? That where we come into, are we just assimilating the land that is around us and just being transformed by the land? Or are we the ones who, once you enter the room, it's like, well, actually, things can't be the same now. Because the king that you're representing is making a claim to say that the kingdom of God has now come. If the kingdom of God is in us, that means wherever we go into, the kingdom of God has also arrived. When we represent Christ. Amen. May we be like Lanzarote wherever we go. May we be the change agents that come. My last point is this. I'm running out of time. Yeast doesn't stop working until it reaches all the dough. Yeast doesn't stop working until it reaches all the dough. What I came to learn when I was doing my research about the kingdom of God is that God makes no exception for where he's expecting his kingdom to expand into. Yes, first of all, we start individually with our own lives. But everywhere that we dwell, everywhere that we do life, everything that we have involved, whether it's what we watch, whether it is where we spend time entertaining ourselves, whether we go to work or whether we are in school or whether within, especially within our homes, all of those areas, God has an expectation of us to say that the kingdom of God must also arrive there. There is no exception. When we are reading in that verse, it says, like the yeast that a woman took and mixed about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The dough that we are working with is within the earth. This is where God is looking to establish himself. His reign and rule is established already in heaven. And he's asking us as his disciples to come into the earth and to ensure that his rule and his reign will also be established here on the earth. That is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is to say that this, his kingdom must come and his kingdom must reign here on the earth in every facet that we can think of. I think so deeply, you know, I think maybe because, you know, we've got a young child, all of a sudden I've taken a keen interest in what my daughter learns or what my daughter is shown or whatever. I am amazed how morality in our nation is just going downhill. And we see it across the world. That is disparity between what God is expecting from his kingdom rule compared to what the kingdom of darkness is trying to do on the earth. And a lot of the times, you know, I think to myself, God, why? Why is it that such things can happen? And I think sometimes the reason is that it falls on us. When we are not the yeast that's supposed to transform the dough takes over. When we are inactive yeast, the dough will do what it does. But then the Lord is calling us to a different place to say, actually, when we come to schools and those governing bodies or wherever it is, you know, I find, you know, I remember they always used to be like a school council and they used to be like school governors and whatnot. We need to be in there. Because if we're not there with our own children to say, you know, what is happening in our schools, then the dough will do what the dough does and then just go immoral across the board. My prayer is that even as we go into this theme of advancing the kingdom of God, that we will find ourselves taking up the places of authority that God is trying to give us. Because it is only within those places, just like how Adam was supposed to be one that's supposed to have authority and rule and reign, God is also calling us to that same place, that we should also have the same within our generation. And I'm going to conclude with this. The message that I have for you today is the same one that Christ gave to us. It's simply to say that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. And if we were ever confused about what we are to share, if we were ever too confused about what do we say to someone when we try to profess our faith, the objective is not Christianity. No, we miss it. The objective is that his kingdom is established. His objective is that people will come into his kingdom. It's not just about a simple set of rules, but it's able to people to say that I am ruled by the one who is the King of Glory, who rules over the kingdom of heaven. And to those who have not yet come to hear this message of the kingdom, or who have never actually thought about, oh, there's a kingdom. My question to you is to say, would you accept the invitation to the kingdom of God? Because he's constantly coming to us with that same request to say, would you enter into his kingdom? There is so much benefit in the kingdom of God. The peace that transcends all understanding is only found in he who is the ruler of the kingdom. The rule and reign whereby we won't see conflicts like we see today. Conflict only comes because there isn't an authority which is trying to tell everyone this is how you ought to rule. The authority of Christ will see peace reign on the earth. And one last verse. There is both the invitation and the transformation. And hear this. And in Matthew 24 and verse 14 it says, and the good news about the kingdom. The good news is what? It's about the kingdom. Will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. Then the end will come. You know, people, sometimes we don't think as much about the end times as much as we probably ought to. But the Lord is giving so much grace to the earth to say he wants others to hear about this kingdom. The end will only come once we have spread that message of the kingdom of God throughout the earth, and then the end will come. And I pray that even I don't know what you may have heard today, that we engage with, first of all, understanding what the kingdom of God is. And within understanding it, then actually start to operate as the yeast on the earth that we ought to be. So I just want us to all to rise to our feet. I just want us to pray together. It's very simple. I think when I reflect upon my own walk, I don't know if the kingdom is always the thing that is priority, or the message of the kingdom always the thing that I look to go to. But I'm just going to pray that message that Christ gave to the disciples will also be the message that will be on our lips, that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is
transforming your life through this podcast. Take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.